If it matters to you, it matters to us. Call TIP today on 1-800-938-007.
Time for Travel Tales with Fergal O'Keefe, and Fergal joins me now. Good morning to you, Fergal.
Good morning. How are you doing?
I'm doing very well indeed. You began to speak to our own Michael last week about your trek on the Camino, but there's so much to talk about. I know you wanted to revisit this week indeed as well. There are so many aspects to the Camino, aren't there, Fergal?
Yeah, exactly. I was actually looking at my notes this morning. I was going, my gosh, I could spend a month talking about it, because you're right, there's so many different aspects. And I was just thinking about it earlier on that, you know, I bet you're the same. If you ever talk to anybody that ever went on the Camino, they always love it.
Yeah.
You never heard someone who didn't enjoy it.
Yeah, or regretted it in any way, yes. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. And people go on it for different reasons. Like I saw, a report, research saying that, something like 28% go for religious reasons, like on a pilgrimage, but another, say, 28% go for, for exercise, and then another go to be with nature. Mm. So loads of people go on it for different, or other people then now go for culturally. Mm. And that was a side of it that I didn't really think about. I always thought about the walking side of it.
Yes.
So there's so many different things that you will get from it that I couldn't recommend it enough, I have to say. And it was very interesting. I wrote an article, we talked about it before, about how, trekking tourism or activity tourism, Clonmel and the areas around South Tipperary, North Tipperary have such potential for walking tourism. And, you see it there where they have so many people that are on this activity tourism, and it's so massive for their economies, and particularly in rural parts of Spain where, there's not a lot going on in those areas bar the tourism now, but it's such a growth industry and they're really focusing on it. So kind of saw the potential that Tipperary has for something similar.
Of course. Can I ask you, why did you go? I mean, what was your reason for going?
Yeah, well, basically through my podcast. So what happened was, because I do the Travel Tales of Heavy podcast, a fan of the podcast is actually a girl who works for the Spanish Tourist Board. She's the kind of Irish representative.
Yes.
And she rang me over when I finished the end of season two. She rang me and she said, "You're not finished, are you?" I said, no, I'm just having a break. And she's like, "Oh, make sure you contact me when you're doing season three again." And I got an idea then over summer that I was going to do destination special. So she rang me then about, I told her about that, and she was organizing this tour for an Irish writer who wanted to talk about the Camino. So she said, "Would I go on it as well?" So that's how I went on it. Now, I've always wanted to go on it. It was on my bucket list.
Yes.
Because I've talked about it here a lot, that I've always, I love walking and I've walked all over the world. So it was on my list, but I'll be doing that maybe sometime in the future. So it was great to get the experience.
So this gave you the opportunity. What about the highlights and the different regions, for example, Fergal?
Yeah, so that's what I didn't know. I mean, so basically, the different Caminos, and the one that Irish people mostly do is called the French Way.
Mm.
And a lot of, they start at Saint-Jean and they go over the Pyrenees. And that was the one I was on. And it is absolutely amazing because it goes through four different regions. So you get to see four completely different parts of Spain. The first part, Navarre, where it starts, people who have been on it will know Roncesvalles, which is just over the Pyrenees. And sort of from there to Santiago, it's roughly, 800 kilometres, basically a long walk. But Navarre is that has got great medieval villages. And I've talked about it before. I'm big into history and the Templars and medieval history. So that was a side that I didn't really know about the Camino. So I absolutely loved it, because each day you were walking along like amazing scenery with these little hill villages that were medieval villages. And I had this great guide, and I'd recommend people, even in villages, if they could talk to a local guide to get the history, because you could easily walk in the Camino and just go through these villages and not hear about the history of the area or the churches.
Mm.
And that really brings the whole thing alive. Because I had this guy called Francisco, who had written a book in Spain, all about the history and the mysticism of the Camino. So it was great because he was big into the talking about the Templars. And I didn't realize there was such a big part of the Camino. So they were talking about, you know, as you went to each village, there was like Templar churches and as guests. But even now in modern world, the Templars, they get they still create this sort of controversy because you'd meet the local guy that'd be talking about the history and this other guy to be looking at him, and then they start arguing because a lot of the history of the Templars was destroyed.
Yes.
So anything connected with them now is sort of more myth, and because there isn't records, so they can argue. So with gas.
Oh, I see. So there's argue between the historians and the mythologists, I suppose.
Exactly. Yeah. I would butt in and go, is there any chance you could tell us all the myths? And then we'll decide.
We'll make up our own mind on it, yeah.
You know what I mean? Because like, the historian could be going, you know, St. James appeared in the sky and came down here as if that's like the fact. Whereas the other guy's talking about the Templars and their story. And I'm going, can you just give us the whole lot? Because I love that.
Yes.
I love, you get really get to the history of the place, and you know, you're talking about how they cleared the Moors out along that route in the 12th century, and that's how it opened up. So it was brilliant.
That's great,
even modern history, you know, the first big town or city that you come to on the Camino is Pamplona, which everybody knows from Ernest Hemingway and the Bull Run, and that's a beautiful old medieval town, and they showed us where the run goes, and there's beautiful, you know, buildings and churches. And I was in a bar in the square, you know, getting they call them the tapas, you know, and that's where Ernest Hemingway used to drink every day.
I think he drank in all the bars.
I know. I know that because we were in that bar in Pamplona, and in the next village,
yes,
we were going through the village, and there was a sign with a picture of Ernest Hemingway, and then it went after he would, you know, basically go on a session in Pamplona. This village is where he went to rest. You know, so the guy was the first.
They
really make them open there.
And I presume the style of drink and food changed as you went from region to region as well.
Exactly, and each region have their own, wines. And then the most famous one, it's only about 65 km on the Camino, but I'd say there's some wine lover priest, when he was doing the original pilgrimage, did a little detour to make sure he went through Rioja, because it's gorgeous.
Fair play to him.
There's beautiful little hill towns again there, and then when you're in the town, you look off, and just as far as the eye can see, it's just fields and fields of vineyards and vines, and it's a lovely time to go September, October, because that's when they're picking the grapes, and there's great activity, and you see the people picking the grapes as you're going through. So it really is spectacular.
Yeah, it's lovely. What was it like? Because I saw the movie The Way with Mr. Sheehan, and I just loved it. But I presume you saw that as well, Fergal, that movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. So does that give you any real indication of what the trek is like?
Yeah, it does. I mean, it's funny, like, because, you know, like the guys would, you know, there's some parts of it that aren't that inaccurate. Like, just say at the very end, he rides in through the front door, which is actually locked, and you know, you go in a different door, but they open it.
This
up
is the cathedral in San Diego, was it?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And there's an area there now where you put your hand in the movie, like it goes in. You know, there's this like famous thing where you can put your hand in and it fits, sort of say you'll come back again. But now they've actually gone very strict. I they did up the hotel, or sorry, the cathedral over the last few years. So now there's security guards standing there making sure that nobody touches it, because it's all cleaned up, and I suppose maybe they're very strict with bags and all that sort of stuff now. So but yeah, the movie gives you, I actually must watch it again, because
it's terrific. But is it emotional when you get to San Diego? Is there an emotion?
Oh, definitely. Yeah. I mean, you walk through, and there's this little kind of a archway area that you go through, and there's, you know, I was talking to my sister-in-law. When I was there, was a guy playing bagpipes, and then she was saying there was a guy playing bagpipes that she was going through like 10 years ago. But you know, like, there's people singing and cheering and crying and hugging. So I was there for 2 days, and I would go back to the square and just stand around watching people arriving in because you see people dropping to their knees and looking up at the cathedral. And, you know, even if people aren't doing this, they aren't religious, it is quite magical when you arrive there into this beautiful square, you know, at the end. Some people, like, a lot of people, if they do the full thing, are probably, say, walking for 35 days. Mm. You see people hugging and crying. And, you know, when I was there, there was, like, lots of students were probably only walking for a day, but they all were broke into song when they arrived in the square. So, you know, there's an amazing atmosphere, I have to say. And that cathedral then has two masses every day. And, you know, there's a gorgeous atmosphere there. And in the cathedral, you can actually do a tour on the roof, or you can do a nighttime tour or daytime. And, you know, it really is special, you know. So, and you know what I would say to people? Even mm-hmm. if they weren't into walking, they could go to Santiago for a weekend and you'd get the atmosphere, the beautiful medieval city with amazing food, you know, like great seafood there. And that would make a great weekend of it. And for your English flying there directly.
It sounds fantastic. And would you go back again? Would you... Is it something you would return
definitely. Yeah. So I basically did over 11 days the four regions. So I was doing it, you know, walking each day, but just getting a highlight of each day.
Yes.
So I'd love to go back and say, do Navarre. I'd love to do that one, go over the Pyrenees, do that section, do a full section. Maybe, you know, but I definitely will go back because...
Right. And again, making reference to the movie, is there that opportunity to move on from San Diego to the ocean then? Is that another...
Yes. That is Finisterre. And I met people at the airport that had just done that. Like when I was leaving the day, there was a group of kind of retirees that had just flown into Santiago, and you can do that in that sort of 5 days. And they said it was absolutely gorgeous. Mm. They loved it. So you can walk to the sea. And that part, you were saying, it's kind of the walk is spiritual. And even before it sort of became a pilgrim walk, you know, in pre-Christian times, you know, there was pagans walking to the sea because the sun, they were following the sun setting in the sea. So it's a very old walk, and that's actually supposed to be beautiful. That's a five-day walk.
It sounds so beautiful, and you explained it gorgeous, as always. Travel Tales with Fergal, Season 3, it starts tomorrow, yes. I think. And what a start!
Yes, I've Reginald D. Hunter,
wow.
Who's a brilliant guy, and I actually have him coming for the O'Keefe Comedy Club on the 29th of January. So that was a great episode. He's an amazing character, talking about his life in England and America growing up. So that was great. And it's starting tomorrow, Travel Tales of Fergal, on all podcasting platforms. And then every Tuesday, and I have some great guests, including destination specials. Like I'm doing one in Camino, and I talked to you about the mountains in Portugal, doing that. So I have lots now, from now until Christmas.
Right.
And actually, just one other thing I'll slip in is that I'm doing another podcast series for DCU, and mm-hmm. it's a beautiful thing. It's called Teachers Inspire Ireland, and the website's teachersinspire.ie. And the idea is that people send in submissions to that website about a teacher that inspired them in their life. And it's a lovely thing, and submissions are coming in now. And I'm doing a podcast on that, and that comes out every Thursday. So the third one will be out this Thursday. But I'd ask people to have, you know, everyone's got one teacher that inspired them in their life, that made a positive impact on them. So I think it's a lovely way of celebrating those teachers. So check out that website. Yeah.
Fergal, it's always a pleasure. You're a busy man, and thank you for your time this morning. Thank you. Good morning to you. That's the great Fergal O'Keefe there of Travel Tales with Fergal.